Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rose Prick's podcast, all about finding Prince Charming for the moment. I'm Ronnie Karam from Big Brother Smother podcast and Watch What Crappens Bravo podcast. And I'm here with the gorgeous Stephanie Wilder Taylor, for crying out loud. Hey, baby.
I love the part where you call me gorgeous. This is such a fun feeling.
I need to come up with other adjectives.
No, no.
It's sexist. It's like sexist.
I love it.
I don't want to make us too vulnerable.
Oh my God. There is so much fucking vulnerable talk in today's episode.
I love it. I love that Roberto watched a couple of Bachelor seasons before he came on.
More than a couple. Seems like he studied it constantly.
Yeah, he's ready with his terminology. Everybody, I smell something burning.
Is it potatoes?
You know,
or is that your nighttime food?
Okay, if someone's house is on fire, it's not mine. I don't know whose it is, but I did a quick check. I live in a small house. Okay.
All right. I told everybody we were going to call the fire department if things went sideways.
Maybe it's because this show is so flaming. I already smell it just talking about it. I'm like, girl, everything's on fire. So if you guys want to know when these episodes are posted, just follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Rose Pricks Pod. We're also on Facebook if you want to talk about Finding Prince Charming as it airs with the other listeners. That's just hilarious. And you can also send us ideas for our bonus episode. We just recorded one about reality stars in real life. And the Vanderpumps and Last Bass's interview on the Juicy Scoop podcast with Heather McDonald.
Yeah, we broke it down so you don't have to listen to it.
Whom we love, so go check out her potty pod. And now we're on to episode number 3.
I can't believe it's already episode number 3.
Girl,
how many are there? Do we know?
I don't even know, but I think that, like, if this was a regular season, there would only be like 5 episodes left. They hardly got any queens for this show.
I know. And by the way, thanks to Lance Bass, I know that it's going to end the typical way that these shows end, with, like, you know, the down to the top 2, and then he picks one. Just obviously no wedding, no marriage.
Well, do they go? I was reading on the logo site because I was looking for ways to watch the show. And they were like, and the winner gets an exclusive chance at a exclusive relationship with Roberto. And I thought that was funny. Like,
oh, my God. I know. It's like, no, the winner gets to be talked about and gossiped about because they get to be like have a moment of 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
That's what you're really winning.
15 minutes of, like,
the guy's a hooker. What? I mean, what are you thinking?
Well, at least it's like getting a cash prize. Most of the guys that come on this show are like worthless. At least this guy can make a living.
That's true.
It's like paid dick. It's like getting a gift certificate to like Dicktown. It's like a free,
oh my
you
God.
Win a free ride on Roberto Sabato Jr. I mean, Sepulveda Jr., sorry.
But same thing. But didn't you find it just weird? Like, all the kissing that goes on in this episode is so stilted.
Well, it's also not the safest, okay? People have, like, little red marks on their lips and stuff. I was noticing that today because I was watching it on the big screen. Usually I watch it, like, on a little computer screen. And I was like, are they passing something around in this house? Because if everybody ends up in the finale with sores all over their mouth, I will not be surprised.
Yeah, I know, but okay. I don't know if this is just like I was going to say possibly my naivete, but I don't think so. It almost felt like, I mean, obviously Roberto is gay, but the way he was kissing was so like uncomfortable, almost like, do you know what I'm saying?
Well, there's a lot of kind of homely people in there. I mean, no offense to anybody on that show, but I ain't going to want to kiss like 13 people they randomly pick from the fault line. Like,
well, that's
no
what
thanks.
I'm saying. But okay, but I'm saying it's like he was kissing people and it really seemed like they were just like they were just a John.
Yes.
You know, like he was like, okay, I have to act. So I'm going to kiss them and then pretend like it was a good kiss. But he looked like he was sucking on a lemon.
Well, anybody who's seen Pretty Woman and truly understands the life of a hooker knows that kissing is saved for special occasions. Like, he'll swallow a load on the internet, but kissing is very deep.
Right. Okay? That's intimate. Yeah. That's personal.
It's intimacy, you guys.
You guys. That's too intimate. I can't get that vulnerable. Unless I have, like, real feelings.
Okay. So we open this episode. Everybody is returning from the last clip-on tie ceremony. And Robbie's like, and I love that they open with him. It's just him walking into the house first, and he goes, girl! 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 Oh! He is the cutest fucking thing.
And I freaking am starting to love him. He's so, he says funny things. He has just like unbridled enthusiasm for every stupid date they're going to do. He's like, what?
Oh, horses. Wow. He is so cute. He is like my little reality version of Just Jack from Will and Grace.
Yes.
He's even similar in looks, although he does have tan, you know, tan lines around his eyes and lips, which is really weird to me.
Yes.
But okay. So they return. He's excited. Eric is, he has this like, he's like, yeah. I was so shocked. It's like, you always look shocked.
Yeah. They're like, I can't believe it.
He but came back from that. I cannot believe that poor guy got kicked off. I mean, he came back from that date radiating.
Yeah. And then he's like, I asked him when he got home, like, do you think there's any chance that you might have to go home? And he was like, absolutely not.
Oh, poor guy. Meanwhile, we're like, bye. Like the first scene of that episode, we're like, bye, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was really sad that Tanique was already crying. They're so shady on this show. They're taking his, you can tell it's their exit interview. Yeah. Where they're like, you got dumped. Shocker.
Yep.
How do you feel about that? And he started sobbing and going into his whole life story about how difficult it was. And they took all that and put it in the front of the episode to make him look crazy.
Yes, because I have written down here, you'd think Danique was the one leaving. He's not leaving. He's empathizing.
Yes.
No, he was leaving.
Yeah, he was leaving.
Spoiler alert.
It's just not cool. What they did to this poor guy. And he's, because he was saying, I've been on so many dates and you don't know, you know, like you think that person is into you, but they're not. And I empathize with that. I was like, he's oh like, my God.
Happened to me. He's like, I've been single for 11 years, like 11 years. So I understand like what it's like to be like single.
Oh, that's so sad because I have too, but I mean, I like to keep you. You just need to not leave your house and then you can blame the rest of the world. You can be like, it's not me, it's them.
You know? I know. And there is, you know what it is? There is something that's like too nice about Danique.
Yeah, I agree. He's so sweet.
He's very sweet, but it can also come off as needy. Like, okay, we'll get to that part.
Well, he's got like an insecurity about him because, you know, being anything is hard, I'm sure. But like being a gay guy who's not like a big muscle queen, when you're around a bunch who are, like they're like these gorgeous model looking muscle queens, it can't have been easy for him to find out he's on this gay dating show with all these muscle guys. And then the main guy comes in. He's this gigantic, he looks like a calendar model. I mean, maybe in Botox Town, but still, like, he looks great.
Yeah, but what about, okay. Some of the other guys are Danique's cuter than some of the guys. I know I made fun of Danique when we were doing our special episode where we talked about the casting.
Yeah.
I thought he was, but in person or on the show, he's cute.
It's just, well, what I was going to say is sometimes it makes you, I forgot what I was going to say. You didn't interrupt me, by the way. I just rambled off in a nowhere town, as usual. But I think he maybe had some kind of insecurity, which is normal. But sometimes when you're dating and you're looking for, like, a real boyfriend, you have to bring your expectations down. And I hate when people say that, like, they're out of your league, but like they are. Like, I wouldn't walk in there thinking, oh, I'm going to fall in love with Roberto. Like, there's no way, unless he wanted me, like, unless he thought I was good with the Swiffer or something like that. There's no way that that dude is going to look at me and be like, oh, we're going to be together. No. Like, you have to keep it. Someone who works out that much wants someone who works out that much, you know?
Right. But I am saying, in Danique's defense, it is almost odd. Like, I can see other people have been, yes, he was going to get let go before the end. He had no chance. But I can't see why he was let go when he, like, first. I mean, not first.
He didn't cause any drama. So the producers were like, get rid of him. Like, let's face it. You're going to get rid of half these guys anyway. So
right. Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
Right away. So just get rid of him and keep the crazy one, which, you know, it's a reality
show. Yeah, exactly. Okay. But I felt bad for Danique because I wanted to tell him that. I wanted to be like, it's not, you're not that bad. I think that would have been really helpful for his ego.
You're sensitive enough to be a gay friend. He like, look, you are not as homely as you feel right now. Hugs. Lunch is on you. It'll make you feel better to do something for somebody else.
Yeah, let's go get some black bean soup at the Abbey on you. Okay.
Okay, so my other favorite thing of this part was when Chad is sitting on the couch sobbing. I was dying laughing.
Oh, so funny.
Because he's had so much Botox and so many fillers. That his face don't even move. The only part of his face that can move are the sides of his eyebrows. Like, not the middle, the very ends by your temples. They were, like, flaring up because the rest of his forehead can't move. And it looked fucking hilarious. It looked like somebody pulling the sides of a puppet face.
Yes. But he also makes one of the worst gays. Because he doesn't even seem... It's not that he seems straight. It's just that he doesn't have any of, like, the good parts of it. He just seems like a kind of a nerdy straight guy.
Yeah.
With way too much Botox.
Yeah.
It's incongruous. Do you know what I mean? It's like you don't look like somebody who spends a lot. He looks like he spends time at the gym, but he also looks like it's kind of an accident. It's it's not worth it for him to be putting in that kind of effort because that's not the kind of guy he's going to get anyway.
Well, you know, he's almost to the age, and I don't know how old he is. I'm just, because you can't tell from their bios, they all lie. But his Botox makes him look like he's in his 40s. Like, people think it makes you look younger, but it just makes you look crazy-faced when you get too many fillers and stuff.
Yes.
So he could be 50, or he could be 20. Like, you have no idea with that face. It's like a mask. So,
right.
Like, who knows? But he just looks like some weird old, like, doll. Crying on the couch.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know. Who will jerk off at you? That's like the creepiest Chucky doll of all time.
He's so mad about the... one thing that Lance Bass did say that I thought was interesting is he didn't seem to believe that Chad actually did that. Because Heather McDonald... Okay, I'm referring right now for anybody who's listening who thinks I'm crazy. On our bonus, we talked about what Heather McDonald said in her podcast because she had Lance Bass on and she brought up that little scandal and Lance was like, I don't see why he would do that on a reality show with cameras around. So he was...
Well, the cameras weren't there though.
Right.
I think that was after the... Because, you know, the cameras do go home at some point and this one, they don't look like they have Big Brother cameras all the way around the house.
No. Right.
And I think... I was talking with friends about it and they were like, he wouldn't do that. Who's going to just start jerking off? I said, that wasn't the accusation. It's that he grabbed himself. It's not that he was like standing there jerking off like a monkey. It's that he like kind of put his hands down his pants or whatever and grabbed himself. That's the only accusation. And then that he said, I'll take you to let's go to the pool house because it's cooler in there.
Right.
Which I was telling my gays yesterday, yeah, of course, he was just trying to fuck him. Like, are we going to pretend we don't know what, like, grabbing your dick is in front of another guy? Like, are we really going to pretend? Like, come on, you're my gays. And they're like...
Yeah, I agree. And in fact, I know we disagree on this, but I didn't think that Eric was being that dramatic about it. He wasn't going like, I just was... He was just like, look, the guy made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here to do a TV show, and this guy's, like, trying to, like, hook it up. and I wasn't into it.
Yeah, I think he just, I think the bad thing about that was that he did it in front of everybody.
Right, of course.
Oish, so awkward.
Right.
But still, loved
it.
It's
a TV show. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Never changed.
I do believe he did it. Yeah, I believe he did it. Anyway.
Great mystery of somebody grabbing their balls. Oh, my God.
And now we're like 15 minutes in and we're like at minute one of the show.
Well, it's okay. We can just go through the basics because they split up the dates and Lance's eyebrows was like, okay, guys, hey, guys, blah, blah. I don't even know what he's saying because I just keep staring at his forehead. I'm like, wow, yeah. A gay person without Botox in their forehead. It's so weird. I don't even know what to make of it.
By the way, as a former producer, having produced shows like this, it was that Lance comes up with, okay, we're going to do this thing where we just draw a card and then you're going to see based on your card who goes on it. It was so lame. I mean, they had obviously no budget for writers and producers because that was just so why? What? Then you're going to get a card that says if your date's going to be a touch or feel or – and then it was just to do your most basic fucking bullshit yoga. You're going to go do yoga. Okay, why not just say, hey, two guys are going to go do yoga and four guys are going to do something else. What was the point of filling time with the stupid, you're going to get a card, and if your card matches up and one card's going to have lips on it, shut up.
Well, they were all the senses on the card, and Robbie got his, and it was an ear, and he goes, oh, that's the sense of hearing. And then, like, pulled his ear.
I know. He's the best.
So he got the sense of hearing along with Brandon, and they were the ones that... The sense of hearing was the card that means you don't get a date, which is hilarious because it's not about anybody listening to you in the first place. I thought that was so telling.
It's so funny.
And
having nothing to do with anything, though.
The listening one is not going to get a date. So funny. But the other senses do. Like,
I don't even feel like they... I think something happened and they like ran out of time. I don't know.
Like, well, we don't have enough money, so you guys are staying home. So two guys get to go on a date, and then four guys have to go on a quadruple date, which I'm sure Robert is used to. So the first two up are Sam and Dylan. No, not Sam and Dylan. Sam and who's the other one?
Justin.
Oh.
Justin, the guy who looks like from the Stray Cats.
Oh, yeah, the lesbian.
Yeah.
Okay, so... They go, they're
Justin,
about...
Justin DeGeneres.
Yeah. So they're going to go on their date, and they're getting ready the next day. And I love the montages of them getting ready, because Robbie is in there highlighting his hair with, like, a mascara lasher.
Yes!
What was that? He's so funny.
Oh, my God. That was so funny.
And then, anyway, they're all getting ready, and, what's his face? Dylan goes in to talk to Sam. Sam is getting ready for his, he's, you know, getting his old Navy shirt, I don't know, ironed or what, Febreze, who knows. And Dylan comes in, he's like, oh, are you excited for your date, Sam? Sam's like, why are you asking? He's like, I'm just trying to be positive. He's like, no, you're not, okay? You're not trying to be positive. You're trying to be negative. Shame on you. Shame on you. For trying to sabotage me. He's like, I'm literally coming in to be nice. No, you're not. No one believes that. Saboteur, shame on you.
Oh, my God. I can't breathe.
Angry Sam. So funny.
Angry for no reason. It's so crazy.
Well, at first I was like, he is just crazy. But then they showed the clip of Dylan on the beach when he's like, can I talk to you, Robert? There are some people who are not here for the right reason, and one of them is Sam, and he's a bully, and he needs to go. And I was like, well, he is a little saboteur, but it's still hilarious how Sam deals with him.
Oh, my God, but Sam is just an alcoholic who hates everybody.
Sam, if you're listening to this,
you have a problem with alcohol, honey, and we just want you to get better.
He's so angry. It's hilarious. Shame on you!
Okay. And then we find out, was this when we find out a little of, no, not, we don't find out, it's a little bit of his backstory here.
The next thing I have is yoga date.
Yeah. So this was made me laugh a little bit when Justin DeGeneres is like, so we're going to be doing acrobatic aerobics. This is so random to me. Like, why? And which we find out later is all about the positions. We're going to be doing acrobatic yoga. And they asked if I've ever done that before. And I said no, but I have.
You are so amazing at the acrobat yoga. I've always wanted to marry someone.
I've never done this before. That's crazy. You're so good.
It's like, do the down dog while you juggling shit. What the hell's acrobatic yoga? Shut up with that.
I know.
Stupidest thing I ever heard of. You don't need to reinvent yoga, okay? Yoga is yoga. Although I did go to hip hop yoga once. I used to do yoga, and I went to hip hop yoga once at Crunch, and it was so fun. It was like Missy Elliott songs, and you had to do yoga really fast.
Oh, okay. Doesn't that defeat the purpose?
I don't know. It All was right. fun. I never went back because it hurt.
Okay. So, by the way, Sam starts to fight with Dylan. Or is that the part you were talking about? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They already
don't
did that.
Do you think that Sam is a racist, though?
No. Why? No. Because he was fighting with Dylan?
The whole thing earlier, he has such an attitude towards, remember when he was calling the other guy kind of like implying that he was a queen? And I just think he's kind of a hater.
That was Robbie. He's white.
Yes. Yes. But I think he's just probably from a really conservative town. And I don't know.
He's like the oddly self-hating. He's the oddly self-hating one where he thinks he's better because he's like slightly straighter than somebody, which is kind of a normal thing to go through, I think. So that's why I kind of identify, because I went through that moment too, and then it dawned on me. Well, actually, I read it in a book that was really good about like gay hate and stuff like that. It's called The Velvet Rage, if
really
there are any gays who need to know about it. But it's a really good book, and it talks about where gay self-hatred comes from, and culturally, like, how we deal with it and how to recognize it and get over it. And that, like, saved me for sure. So, Sam, read you some Velvet Rage, girl.
Oh, my God. We're here to help.
Because you seem fine when you're not about to murder somebody. Oh, my God. Could you imagine that guy in traffic? Shame on you cutting me off like that. Who the heck do you think you are, mister?
You know what? We are such good people. We are. This is the most helpful podcast ever. I hope Sam sends us something a little special.
This is a rock. Here's a pet rock through your window, mister. Shame on you. So he takes Roberto Sepulveda aside on the one-on-one date.
Okay. Who? Yes. Yes. He
Sam.
Does.
And he goes, Sam. He's trying to do, it makes me so sad seeing men do this. It makes me sad watching The Bachelorette and watching men do this too, because it's pathetic. But when they're fighting over a man or trying to like just win just so they could have the man, and they're trying to, I don't know, it's like if he finds me attractive, I win. And then they get like kind of desperate and needy. So right. Sam is like, well, look. I have so much here inside of me, and I just want to show it to you, Robert. I just want to show it to you. I got so much in my heart. My heart is beating so fast. And then Roberto's like, let me feel. And he feels it and like kind of moves his boob to like test like how much boobage is there. And then he goes, oh, that's the first time I felt a spark between me and Robert when he touched my heart. It's like, oh, God.
By the way, okay, so they're sitting on a bench during this time, and Robert's body language is so off. He clearly doesn't like him. He's sitting, and he has his back is like curved, literally curved away from Sam. Yes. On the bench. Like he's trying to get as much space between their bodies as he can. And then he's like, yeah, I mean, Sam's somebody I could see myself with long term. And his body is saying the exact opposite thing, which we know to be true later. Later he says, like, yeah, there's really no chemistry.
Yeah, he's curling his back like he's scurvying away from,
yes,
from Sam.
It's yes.
Like giving himself back disease to get away.
Yes, yes. Which I just thought was interesting. And every time that happens with these people, the guys never seem to notice that Robert is clearly not into them. Well, they're always like, yeah, It was great. I could really feel the chemistry. We're starting to have a connection.
They're trying to all talk themselves into it. It's like if you say I'm vulnerable enough, which does seem to kind of work sometimes, that he'll fall in love with you. But yeah, I don't think Robert's not the kind of hoe that you talk to. Like, you know how there are those hoes that guys go to, well, at least on TV shows, and they're like, I just want to talk today. And they're like, all right, sugar. And they just listen to the guy unload all of his issues. Robert's not that guy.
No, he's not that guy.
You don't unload issues on Robert.
No. The only thing that, yeah.
You
no.
unload
Robert
loads.
Unloads.
Yeah, you unload
his issues
loads.
On you.
So Robert is kind of a sneaky bitch because he does, he tells Sam on the date. Sam's like, oh, my heart is beating. And Rob was, also, when he says, I could see being with him long term, but I think that means, like, I don't want to fuck him, but I could probably marry him because he'll yell at the waiter for me, you know?
Right.
But also he says, well, Dylan told me something. I'm not going to say what, but Dylan told me something, and it's very disturbing. And Sam immediately gets defensive, and he's like, well, there's two sides to the story, okay? Dylan is the canary. Oh, you know what? He's not a canary. He's a vulture. He's a vulture canary.
Yeah, when did they take over the canary talk? Because that wasn't that, like, trademarked?
Well, it was Chad talking to Sam.
Yeah, so but that's like, Chad. Chad trademarked that. And now everybody gets to use the canary thing? I would sue for copyright infringement. He's like, I came up with that whole canary thing. You can't just start using it.
Who's the canary?
Obviously, they were talking in the house, though, and going, like, talking about canaries. And okay.
I need to look up what the damn canary is, because I think that it's when people would send a canary to see if there's a gas leak or something.
Yeah,
and then
if
the canary dies.
Yes.
Isn't that what it is?
Yes. There's no singing like a canary. Well, there's also that saying, sing like a canary.
Well, they say sing
but
like
it
a
means
bird.
Something different.
When
oh,
you,
yes.
When
like
you tattletale on someone, it's like you sing like a bird, but I don't think it's a canary.
Yeah.
I think the canary dies when it
canary
smells
in a coal
gas.
Mine is wrong.
Yeah, canary in a coal mine. Thank you.
Yes.
There it is. You dum-dums. I mean, I'm dumb because I didn't know it either, but I ain't using that phrase.
Exactly. We're careful not to use stuff that doesn't sound quite right.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. You have completely ruined canary for America. There you go.
And this is always the kiss of death, by the way, when they start talking about if Robert asks you about someone else in the house, he ain't fucking you.
Yeah, he's friend-zoning you. He's gossip-girling you.
Yes.
So he's like, well, I still feel deeper with Justin. Oh, because Justin comes over and Justin is like, oh my God, this guy loves lesbians. And he's really super confident, like almost overconfident, which kind of bugs me. I don't like that.
Yeah.
And they go walk around the property together and it's so awkward. He's like, what's your favorite color? And he's like, oh, I don't know. What's your favorite color? He's like, blue. He's like, oh, yes, I like blue too. And then they see a horse. He goes, oh, my God, Black Beauty. Okay, if you had a horse, what would you name it? And Roberta goes, Black Beauty. I'm like, oh, my God.
Okay, I'm with you, but I thought it was very weird that, I mean, yeah, that happened. But then Justin DeGeneres is like, oh, my God. It's like all of our chemistry was gone. I mean, it was so awkward. It wasn't that awkward.
I mean, it was awkward, but what's your favorite color, really, girl?
Yeah, but it wasn't like, oh, my God, it's over between us. I just thought it was kind of an overreaction.
I think he was thinking that because he didn't get made out with.
Exactly. And then, we find out later.
And then Robert was like, you know, the last date I gave him kiss, and this date I wanted him to take the initiative to give me kiss, but he didn't. I'm like, well, look, you can't be a top 1 minute and a bottom the next, okay? You're not on the clock. The rest of us don't know how to read you. These guys don't even know you a hoe yet. Otherwise, they would know exactly what to do.
Right.
Give you a dollar and make you dance.
Yeah, exactly, Red Boy. But by the way, later, Dylan tries to kiss him and he acts like he just got stung by a wasp.
Well, Dylan, oh my God. Dylan's just like jumping all over him.
Yes, but I mean, I'm sure they don't know what to do. You know, if he didn't like Justin, then he would have been like, ooh, don't try to kiss me.
Yes.
Anyway, all right.
Yeah, so, at least Justin tried to talk. Dylan was just like, blah, 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 blah. He's like, oh, no, 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 no. You back off of me.
Yeah. So now, so next, Chad and Danique are getting ready for their date. And Danique is like, I'm not even going to put chapstick on.
Yeah.
I'm going to be crusty.
I'm going to come at him really crusty, honey. I was dying.
That's an impression.
I was dying at him today. He was so funny.
Oh, my God. And then, by the way, Chad puts on a shirt that looks like if Betsy Johnson threw up on Ed Hardy. It was the worst. I was like, what is he wearing?
You can't have Milton Berle face and then wear like.
Yes, exactly. That's perfect.
That
yes.
That guy's a damn mess. So they show Brandon, Eric, and Robbie hanging out together. And Robbie's like, well, we don't get to go on dates. So haircuts and manicures day. It's going to be fabulous day, boys.
And then as people on Facebook pointed out, which was so true, it was really funny. He's doing one guy's nails and then that guy gets up and he goes, next.
He does it in band voice. Sam sits down and Justin and Sam come back and Justin's like pretending to be all stressed. And Sam goes, you guys, Robert is really into Justin. Okay, be warned. I saw it with my own eyes. And of course, I'm jealous as frick. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm proud of you, Justin. Congratulations. But you guys. And then Justin's like, did make out, like, I seriously don't know. And then Sam sits down to get his nails done, and he's complaining to Robbie like it's his real lady, you know?
Right, right.
And he's like, well, we went on this date, and then I heard that Dylan was saying stuff about me. And Robbie goes, well, what was he telling you? That you're starting fights with everybody? Robbie.
Yeah.
Is too precious, this guy. Yeah.
And then Sam is mad about Dylan, and he's like, I'm going to have a chat with him. He's like, and I'm going to tell him to stay out of my grill. Okay, girl.
Like he's a fly while you're driving really fast through the country. It's not out your grill. It's off your grill.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to tell him to stay out my grill, girl.
When Robbie was done doing his nails and listening to him spew his darkness all over the place, he goes, okay, sweetheart. What did he say? He's like, oh, he goes, okay, enjoy your nails, honey. Next!
Oh, my God. We have to get that out of the show. I mean, we have to, like, what do you call it? Excerpt that. I need a gif.
That shit was so cute.
So cute.
Well, I'm actually paying to watch it now, and I don't think I can screenshot stuff that you get from, like, Google Play or iTunes. They have it all copyrighted and stuff. So whatever, people.
Oh.
So next is the Dylan, Paul, Chad, Danique date, the foursome. Yeah.
Yes. And I'd almost forgotten Paul was on the show, even though he's my front runner.
Oh. Tame gay.
Yep.
I love Paul that we call him tame gay, sweater gay, and he literally wore sweaters today. It's like, LOL.
Yeah.
Love it.
The funny thing is, the guy in real life, or according to the website, owns a tanning business, which just is incongruous with how he comes off on the show.
It really doesn't make sense with his personality.
No, he doesn't seem like he'd be that surface.
Our first two podcasts that were bonus episodes, sorry everybody, but they were behind this, you know, we were just judging the cast before we had ever seen them before. Our judgment on this guy was completely off. I mean, we thought he would be a douche, like a total tanning bed douche guy. And he's so oddly nice. Like, yeah, I can't believe he's not like reading a book. Like, okay, you guys have fun on your dates. I'm going to be reading a book over here. Frown, smile, frown, smile, frown, smile.
Later, there's a part where what's his name? Roberto goes to talk to him and he's like, oh, are you babysitting? the boys? And he goes, yeah, that's what it feels like. It does. It feels like he's like in his 50s with surrounded by a bunch of like preschoolers.
Yeah. Some people call it babysitting the grandkids and some people calling it doing a crossword puzzle. Whatever you're happy with. Frown, smile. Frown, smile, frown, smile.
Okay. So they're on a date and it does. It feels to me like Paul is kind of on a different level than the rest of them. And I'm not saying he's a different level as in he's a better, much better person, but I'm saying it seems like he's sort of like waiting out everybody like, okay, you guys go and do your little thing and then I'll wait for my time to be with Roberto.
Yeah, he seems...
We'll have our grown-up time.
Well, to me, he seems like he just knows how stupid it is. He's like, I cannot believe I'm an adult chasing a whore. Like,
yes.
I feel like he recognizes the guy or he already knows what's coming, you know?
Yeah.
On his face. And he's okay with it. Like, it looks like he's accepted it, but he's like, I ain't competing with some homely young people. Like, that is going to lead to nothing good. I'll tell you that right now.
I think he knows that Roberto thinks that he's the only one that, you know, could possibly be the one. Anyway. All right. So they're on the group date. They're trying to get private time. So Chad and Roberto go and have some private time. And it seems like they're going to kiss, which is disgusting. And then Chad, he asks Chad, he's like, I'm going to find out. What was the deal with Chad? Like, why? I'm going to revisit. Why was he sitting on a suitcase at the top of the stairs? I must know.
He's like, he packed the suitcases and I must know. I was like, no, he didn't. He sat on empty suitcases at the top of the stairway. Like, that lazy ass didn't even carry him down the stairs.
Yeah. And Chad's like, well, you know, I was overwhelmed with emotions, you know, because of my vulnerability. I'm so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm just like just so vulnerable that I'm just scared and I want to protect myself.
Yeah.
And also fuck some other guys in the pool room.
Totally. But... I have trust issues. Like when I jerk off in front of people, they try and make it sound like I've raped them. And I didn't rape them. Like, is it against the law to jerk off through your bathing suit at somebody? No. Okay. It's not. So
now I have trust issues.
Call the boner police.
Persecuted.
Yes. And Robert's like, okay, I would use this gossip against somebody else. I like, this is a winery, by the way. And they're tasting the wine and somebody goes, are we supposed to spit it out in this bucket? And Robert goes, I will swallow mine. And then America just shrugs, like not shocked at all.
Okay, so Roberto and Paul finally get a little one-on-one time, but they don't kiss. Although Paul says this is the most vulnerable he's like literally ever been, like literally. Yeah.
And he's like, he's just so stiff. I just want to mess up his hair. I'm like, you bitch. And then they showed a side shot of him. His hair is so aquanetted. I'm like, who are you telling?
Yeah.
Like, who are you talking to? But then Paul was using he's like, I've not felt a pang of jealousy. I mean, this is the first time I've ever felt jealousy. And it was a pang. And it's the first time since I could remember.
Yeah, it was like the one time when I slept on some sheets and the thread count was only like 500. Like, I felt like a pang. Like, but that's like the last time.
One time I hit my funny bone on the desk. And it was like a pain. It was like that. I was like, it's supposed to be funny, but it's not. Frown, smile, frown, smile.
One time I was listening to some music through my earbuds, and one of them kind of made like a hissing sound, like out of one ear. That was like a pain.
And he does the code word. He's like, I'm vulnerable, frown, smile. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I love a vulnerable man. So he goes off, and then Denique's like, when's my turn? When I got to walk around the park? The winery, the whatever.
But first, and by the way, Roberto took Paul. This is how you know that Paul's the front runner. All the guys are like, can I talk to you? And Roberto's like, oh, okay. But Roberto's the one who took Paul aside. Paul's like, I'm just going to sit back and let Roberto come to me. Yeah. But the other guys are like, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
But by the way, when they come back, Roberto's like, yes, Paul and I didn't kiss, but I know the right time is going to come.
Yeah, so. That was weird because I don't get any kind of vibe between them at all. I really don't. I know you do. I just don't really feel any yet. I mean, I think that logistically it makes sense. I mean, Paul is the kind of guy, like the tame sweater gay. He's going to have dinner on the table. He's going to support you no matter what. And if you don't come for home, if you don't come home for 3 days, he will be sitting there in an easy chair waiting for you doing a word scramble. And he ain't going to yell at you either. He'll just be like, well, how do you feel about what you did? Frown, smile, crinkle eyes. He'll be like an understanding dad.
Right.
But then Roberto will occasionally be in a good mood and sweep him off his feet. And he'll be like, that's enough.
Right. Right.
That's enough.
Oh, I'm feeling our original connection. When you do that, when you put on some Frank Sinatra and or some Maria Gloria Estefan, I feel that original.
I feel that original pang.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Feel that.
This is our song. Thank you, everybody, for coming to our wedding. Come on, come on, come on, baby. Feel that motion. Come on. With me.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby. Feel that. No, can't restrain myself any longer.
Oh, yeah. Feel that conga.
Yeah.
Feel that conga beat. Dun, 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 dun.
Boop, 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 boop. Yeah.
And, you know, he'll just be like step touching.
Yeah.
Trying to slow dance to it.
Oh, my God. Well, here's the thing. They know that that's what the show, it's like a showman's. You know, it's the little, like, that's the guy that I think Roberto feels like is the most appropriate to win the show with. Yeah. I'm not saying they have any actual chemistry.
Oh, okay.
It's just show chemistry. I'm just like, that's the guy that he thinks is like a of all these guys. Like, I mean, imagine him choosing Robbie at the end. You know, that's not going to happen.
Well, look, when you become a 45-year-old gay who's saying he's 33, ain't nobody buying it still, okay? I know we're almost...
Right,
whatever.
So Paul's
but
the
I
same
think
way.
You're just looking at people, and you're not thinking, is this guy a top? Is he? You're thinking, can this man make a chicken pot pie?
Right.
Yes or no? I have one question for you. That's it. That's it. Okay, so all y'all just stop trying.
Oh my God, Ronnie, you are so funny. So Denise, can he make a chicken pot pie? That's the best.
So Danique gets his turn,
yeah.
And then it cuts to him sobbing again. These editors are such assholes.
Yeah, but he's like, oh my God, are you looking at my zit? Stop looking at my zit.
Oh, Danique.
And Roberto's like, no, I was not looking at your zit. And he's like, girl, this zit is about to pop and ooze all over you.
He's like, no, no, it's the day off. None of this today. Oh, God. So
like,
what did they even talk about?
I have a zit that is so huge. It's about to burst, girl. He's like, and I've been single for 11 years, and I don't know why. What is that, Roberto?
You want to pinch it, girl? Pinch it. Do it. When he finished, Roberto's like, wow, he's funny. And he also probably sobs a lot. I like this. Funny crying men. Like, nobody likes that, okay?
Yes, which we find out later. Spoiler alert, Danique's going home.
Poor guy.
Yeah. But this is what kills me a little bit is how Roberto's like, yeah, every guy is like, yes, I could see myself with him for a long time. No, you can't. Not even for the rest of the show.
Yes, this man will look very good in a twin bed in the guest room. So,
friendship. Okay, so then.
Dylan.
Oh, hashtag girl.
Why, girl? Why, Dylan?
Dylan has a really small head.
Did you notice? This is so mean, and I'm sorry I can't help it. I come here to be mean, okay, everybody? Just hang up now if you don't like it.
Yeah.
Dylan has a flat nose, and the only reason I'm pointing this out is because he's always that guy putting his goddamn face up to the window to look in and see what everybody else is doing instead of getting his own damn life. And that's your karma, that flat fucking nose. Get your face off the window, okay? And go live your own life.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dylan brings Roberto aside. And within not even 15 seconds. Within 10 seconds, Roberto's like, yes, you know, I feel like when we've been talking, we've had a little chemistry. He's like, and he tries to kiss him. And I have never seen on a show somebody have that bad a reaction to somebody trying to kiss them. He was just like, ugh.
And then he tried like two more times. Ugh, awkward. Oh my God.
Somebody pulls away like they're being raped. Back off.
Because Dylan, at least the other guys are trying to somewhat be themselves. Dylan's not. He's just like, I wasn't expecting to have a connection with you, but every time I see you, I have a different set of butterflies. Every time it's different. It's like such a connection. People like that sound nuts. Like, what, you're going to say you're in love with him? You don't even fucking know the guy, dude. Back off, ho.
Oh, God. I don't even think they've ever been alone together.
It's yeah, only when they gossiped. He pulled him aside at the beach like, oh, well, here's... And then he was the one that was trying to steal him away, wasn't he, in the pool party when he's, like, trying to talk to him? And he kept interrupting everybody's thing.
Yes.
Yeah, he's obnoxious, but they're going to make Roberto keep him. And Robert's like, it's so, you know, it's not easy to be kissing a bunch of guys like this for free. It's not easy. It's awkward.
But he's not even doing it. That's the weird thing. The kissing on this show is more awkward than any episode of Bachelor or Bachelorette I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so they go. Okay, so then all the guys are like, hey, do you want to come back to the house? And Roberto's like, you know what? That would be a magnificent idea.
I could use a drive to Tarzana. Sure, an hour in the car sounds great.
Yeah.
Can't wait to be there. It's got to be better than the bench in Burbank that I'm staying on.
I've heard a lot about this drama in the house, and I must come see for myself. He's twirling his mustache. Let me come and see what's going on behind the scenes.
The guys are so funny. Justin's like, I gotta brush my teeth. Oh my God, he's coming. They're like, ooh.
Yeah. And Sam is like, I need more wine. Sam, you are an alcoholic. I'm trying to tell you. Look at yourself.
Oh, Sam. Oh, he's Sam.
Like, he has a big, huge, like oversized wine glass that's empty. I need more wine.
It's always empty. I love that they're using those gigantic wine glasses.
Yes.
They're all using them. There's like a bottle of wine or a box of Franti in each one.
Yep.
So they're going to have this pool party. They all get in their little swim trunks and get in the hot tub. And they're like, girl, yes, girl, blah, blah. And Roberto talks to Tame Gay a little bit in the kitchen. He's like, oh, you're a babysitter? And he's like, pretty much. So then Dylan is like, can I talk to you, girl? And pulls him aside and just starts going off. Did I skip something?
Yes, you did. First, which I just thought was interesting, Roberto's like standing around and he's like, oh, Robbie, he wears glasses. That's cute. I wear glasses too. And then he's kind of like sussing them all out. And then he walks over so aggressively and he's like, Paul, let's go in the bedroom. It was like any guy that did that to him, he'd be like, oh, I don't like that. This guy's so aggressive. He's like, Paul, let's go to the bedroom. Which would never happen on a regular episode of The Bachelor. Never on Straight Batch would any guy be like, let's go talk in your bedroom. It was just so funny. And he's like, okay. So then they go in the bedroom. And Paul says, like, you know, I'm just so vulnerable right now. And then he goes back into the story of his boyfriend.
Oh, God.
Who now we find out was his fiance.
Oh, no. It's so cringy.
I know. But in his defense... This just here's my problem with it, okay? I totally feel your problem with it. My problem with it is that I don't feel like he's completely using it to exploit, but I feel like it just happened. It was just happened in November. This was his long-term boyfriend, his fiance, and he killed himself. Why are you on a reality show? It's too soon.
It's too soon.
He's like, it just happened in November. Okay, get off the show.
Well, the way I feel that he's using it isn't necessarily like, suicide, I win. I don't think he's using it necessarily like that. He just knows that he has to be vulnerable. So ever since he's been told the word vulnerable, he's like going to pretend to cry and then talk about this guy because that's his thing. It's like if you go to acting class and they're like, remember when your mom died? And you're like, and you start sobbing. They're like, now say the lines. We caught it. It's almost like that where I'm sure his feelings about it are real. It's just so awkward that you're bringing it up, trying to get points from a hot guy on a reality show. Gross. Yes. Gross.
But I like Paul so much that it just makes me feel like, why are you on a show with a male hooker? Well, you're too good for this.
They
Stop
don't know
it.
Yet. They don't know he's a male hooker. All that they know, they think he's rich because they think this is like a real thing of The Bachelor. They think he's some rich guy, and he's like, I own a nonprofit, which we found out in last week's bonus episode is some bogus ass thing about putting rainbows in crosswalks. Okay, that ain't real. He's some poor person,
right?
They don't know. They're all being,
I guess,
sham wowed, y'all.
But then, okay, sham wowed. But then they kiss, which was so awkward for me because it was like a sixth grader's playing spin the bottle. Like he leans over and it's supposed to be like their first kiss, and he kisses them, and then he kind of like does it again, but it's like this.
Yeah.
And then I swear to God, I half expected Roberto to be like, I take Visa, Amex, or MasterCard. Not Discover.
He's got like a little square thing on his right. iPhone.
Right. He's like, do you want to settle up now? Or because I know Dylan's going to want to speak to me. So, I just want to charge you before I forget.
I hope that none of my sex worker friends listen to this show because they are going to get so mad when I start talking like this. But look, that's just life, okay? That's just how it goes. You make fun of people for every reason. I think if he was just honest about it and he's like, I had a wild childhood and young adulthood, and there was a time where I was even a high-class call girl. Oh, and they would be like, girl, that is hilarious.
But
like,
I think the point is that it's recent. It wasn't just a couple years way back in his past. He's just did porn. Oh. The guy's a professional. That porn stuff was recent.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I take it back.
So I think we can shame him all we want. Look, you're posing as a guy that's actually looking for love. I know it's acted. I know it's like, okay, we're making a TV show, but it's fake. It's like he's not looking for love. He's doing porn.
And all these shows are fake, but you know these queens are really looking for love. Because one thing you can count on with the gays, we are very emotionally cut off a lot. And it does take a lot for us to, like, have a normal. And I know a lot of gays do and have had a very easy time transitioning. And I know them, and God bless them. But for a lot of it, I mean, you see on this show, it is pretty normal to not have a boyfriend for a long time in our community, you know? Or
right.
to not always be with somebody. And so right. these queens, like, whether they know they're on TV or not, they are still, like, legit looking, I think.
Yeah, and honestly, I know this sounds weird, but I feel even worse for the African-American gay people, too, because you got, like, a double, like, you're already 10% of the population to start with, and now you're gay. You've got to feel kind of, like, on the outside. It just makes me feel doubly bad for Danique, just because it's got to be, like, a hard position to be in, and you are vulnerable. But I don't feel bad for Roberto. That's the thing. I feel like he's exploiting everybody on this show.
Yeah, it's
and that's why I feel bad for Paul. It's like Paul actually comes off as like a nice guy who would be actually open to, I don't know, maybe he's just a tanning bed slut.
No, I mean, he seems nice to me too. It's just that two things. First, and I'll make it quick. First, if this was a reality show where the bachelor was a porn star and they're like, this is your chance to date a porn star, they would still have 13 willing and able queens there trying their hardest to date him. That's why I don't understand the dishonesty about it, because people would still show up to date a hot guy. Like, people don't care. Gay people don't care. Okay. We'll like put all that stuff to the side. You know, you love somebody beyond all of the sex. The sex usually comes first, and then you you learn the name after the blowjob, okay?
Right.
Like, it's just, I don't know. Anyway, and the second thing is every week with Paul, it's just something new. It's like a new addition to this terrible story. Now this week we find out they were engaged. We didn't know that before, right?
No, we didn't. You gotta step it up. He's stepping it up every time.
Yes, oh God. Okay, yeah. So beyond that sadness.
Next week it's gonna be like, we just gotten married. Oh, he was your husband?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's we just had a party and everybody. Then the next week it's gonna be, we were adopting a child together.
Oh. And it was on Thanksgiving, and he had his oven in the head with the turkey. We couldn't even enjoy the turkey. It's like every week it's going to be something worse and worse and worse, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so they awkward, the most awkward kiss, which of course they're both like, oh, so many sparks, so much sparks. And then he goes out, Roberto goes out, and Dylan is like, can I talk to you, girl?
He takes him to the side, and he doesn't only tattletale, he starts going off. I was laughing so hard at this part. He's like, look, I'm here for the right reason, and if people aren't going to show themselves for who they really are, then you need to know. Look at everybody over there acting like they're having a good time. We are not having a good time.
Yeah, some people, but faster.
Oh, my God.
Go faster.
Oh, my God.
Because he was talking so fast. I don't care. I don't. These people are not having a good time. They're in the house, and they're talking. And Roberto's like, whoa. What is going on?
You think we have peaches? We do not have peaches. Behind the closed door, it is no law, peaches and cream. And just going on and on. And they're
not
showing
that, but we do not have beaches. I thought we were going to be in Malibu to the boo. But no, we're in Tarzana.
But if you saw what was going on here, you'd cry like you was watching beaches. Like he is going off. His hands are flying. They show the angle where you can really only see Robert standing there, and then you see Dylan's hands just like, and then, and then. They're like, girl, he is like Marley Matlin going in.
Am I watching Nell or am I watching Finding Prince Charming? Oh, God. But so then Sam starts freaking out.
No.
Remember Nell?
Yes.
Jodie Foster.
That's why I'm laughing so hard. That shit's hilarious. So what now? What's Sam do?
Okay, so Sam starts freaking out. He's like, oh, he's talking about, I can't do the accent. You do it. It's the Vicky accent. He's like, he's talking about me.
Yeah, he's like, oh, but look at him over there. Dylan's sure having a fun time talking about me. And then Justin.
He should be ashamed.
Yeah, shame on you. Justin is telling him, no, he wouldn't be talking about you. Why would he do that? He's not like, why would he spend his time talking about you, Sam? This is all in your head. Did I tell you about the part where I balanced him above me? Like, it was crazy.
Like, I totally told him that I don't know how to do acrobatic yoga, but I do. Oh, my God.
I caught a bowling pin with my butt cheek while I was doing a down dog. What do you think of that? Sounds a shame on you. So Roberto comes out, and this is...
But they keep going back and forth while Sam's like, he's talking about me, and they're all like, you're crazy. And then it's just cuts to Dylan going, Sam is not here for the right reasons. So funny.
So
and Robbie, by the way, Robbie's like, Sam just flipped his tits.
I can't believe that. He flipped his tits and then Roberto laughed. So Robert is like, okay, goodbye. Goodbye now. I better be going home now. And they're like, what? Dylan, why are you taking him home, girl? And then Dylan walks him to the front like it's his boyfriend. Dylan really, really pissed me off in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Like, way more than is normal.
Yeah, like, no, he's
the worst.
For a
normal human being to be watching a TV show. It's like, you're gross. Get out of here.
I agree.
Sorry for the cough. So he walks him out, and all the boys are like, what happened? Like, tell us everything. Did Dylan even tell them?
No.
I don't even think what happened. So Sam just starts yelling. And he's not even yelling at Dylan, which was hilarious. He's yelling at Chad. He's like, yeah. How dare you? You ruined everything. Don't fuck with me, Chad. Don't you yell at me, okay?
Dylan's a bitch.
Yeah, he's just like totally screaming. And then he goes, yeah. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go home.
But before that happens, then he's screaming and then Justin starts crying. Justin DeGeneres. He's like, it's overwhelming.
He's crying like a woman who just lost her house in a fire. Yeah. I mean, he's acting ridiculous.
Yeah. And then Sam is going chasing around the house and he's like, I'm going to get Dylan. I'm going to get him for shame. A shame on him. And then he catches up with Dylan and then he spits on him.
Oh, my God. He starts screaming at... Oh, yeah, it was Dylan he spat at. So he's done yelling at Chad. Then he goes up to Dylan, who's sitting on the bed, and he's like, you are disgusting. You are a queen. So, like, he just, like, tells him off. And then he's like, and I want to kick your ass, but I won't. And spits at him.
Yes.
Whoa, Sam.
I mean, and Dylan didn't get up and beat the shit out of him.
Oh,
and
my
then,
God.
And then as we go to commercial, you just hear a little voiceover of Danique. I feel like there's a fly in my wine.
Danique just sitting there. What? Yes, he's just sitting there with this gigantic glass, kind of rolling his eyes at everything, taking a really long sip. I feel like there's a fly in my glass.
Then we come back from commercial, and Sam is a little bit sorry. But it turns out he was bullied so bad that he used to cut himself, which is apparently why he needs to take it all out on Dylan. But what's done is done.
I'm sure. When did...
Like, I feel bad, but I mean, it's, a, you know, I already spit at him, so whatever. And Sam starts packing his shit into a huge Glad trash bag for some reason, which is, what are you, were you, did you, are you leaving the house with more stuff than you brought in? How does it not that it, how are you putting shit in a trash
he's
bag?
He's taking the lamps. Vacation? He's taking the comforter.
Souvenirs?
Yeah, he's just taking shit with him. He's like, I'm taking that Home Depot lamp from the outside too. Think you're going to get that? You're not.
I did not understand that. Like, you have a suitcase.
Oh,
put your shit back in your suitcase and get out.
But did you notice he had like a little tiny suitcase for all of his like Banana Republic shoes?
Girl. Yes. Girl. Okay. So he, but I thought it was really funny that he's like, you know, I mean, Sam, this is Sam talking about Dylan before he leaves. He's like, you know, I mean, I feel bad, but like, it's already done. I mean, listen, Dylan, I think he's manipulative, but he doesn't deserve to be spit on. I mean, I wouldn't spit on my worst enemy.
Yeah, nobody
but you
deserves
just did.
That. Nobody but deserves to be spit on unless they ask for it. You know, which is like a kinky thing. It's not assault, but you know. Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it.
No.
Yeah, you did.
Shame. So he leaves, and then everybody's excited, and Dylan is like, yes.
Yep, Dylan got what he wanted at the end. You know, you totally gave in and gave him exactly what he wanted. And all that means for you, Dylan, is that your ass is going to get kicked off faster. You probably would have had another week if, you know, you had that buffer, but now you're not. Stupid.
Right. So now Lance comes to talk to Roberto. And he tells him about the fight. But I thought this was interesting. Lance never tells Roberto that Sam spit on Dylan.
Well, you don't want to turn the guy on. I mean, we've seen the guy swallow a load out of a condom on the internet. He'd be like, bring him back. Finally, somebody interesting.
But didn't you think that was odd? That he's like, yeah, they had a big fight. And he just makes it seem like Dylan's the troublemaker.
I wonder...
And that Sam was so couldn't take it anymore and left.
I'm wondering if that at that point, the producers, because that's assault, technically, spitting on somebody, believe it or not. Like, it's assault. So I'm wondering if the producers were like, don't mention it in case we have to cut it out.
Oh, because, interesting.
You know, if anybody sues us or whatever. That's kind of what I thought of it, because there's no host of a show, especially a gay one, who's not going to bring that up. You know, they try and use that for everything it's worth. But, well, I mean, who knows with this show?
You're right, though. I hadn't even thought of that.
So who knows, but good Robert's like, yeah, you like my fake mystery solving? It's probably not even real.
Yeah, I think it's probably true.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that he didn't mention that either. But Robert's like, oh, that is too bad. I wanted to explore this friendship with Samuel. Like, no, ain't gonna happen.
No, you didn't.
And when he talked about Dylan, he's like, he showed his true colors, in a sense. I was like, what does that mean? What does that even mean?
So we had 9 people left, right? Or
is
was
it
down to less?
I feel like it's less. It seemed like fewer because I was like, what is this show in next week?
Well, we had a date with 4 guys, a date with 2 guys, that's 6. And then was it 2 or 3 that didn't go on a date?
2, I think, didn't go on it. Or, yeah, 2 or 3. I don't know. Yeah. 3 of them didn't go on a date, right? I don't know.
So that would be 9. I think we were down to 9. Okay, so now Sam left. So they're going to get rid of one more. So the other guys are like, okay. So anyway, this is where it gets a little bit sad. So now it's time for the tie ceremony. Mm. And Robert picks Paul, of course, and then he picks Eric. And he's all gruff with Eric. It was really weird. He's like, please keep wearing your tie.
Yeah, I think because Eric, like, he gets mad at them when they don't pay him any attention. But if they don't go on a date with you, how are they supposed to give you attention?
I know.
Like, he yelled at somebody. Who did? Oh, just, no, not
Brandon.
Justin. Brandon, yeah. He's like, Brandon, honestly, I forgot you were even here. And Brandon starts laughing and he goes, oh, no, I'm serious.
I know. That was my favorite.
I need to see some more initiative. It's like, oh, what is God. He, your bus boy? Like, I've never heard anybody say that in a relationship.
Time to lean, time to clean.
Yes. Time I love to lean, that saying.
Time to kiss up to me.
You know, I was just saying that saying yesterday in the Big Brother thing. I was like, I had to explain to Matt what it was. You have time to lean, you have time to clean. but that was weird. He's like, you need more initiative. And so Brandon.
Oh, God.
So gross, Brandon.
So awkward.
This is fucking gross that you did this. He whips out his AA necklace.
Oh, God.
Out of his pocket.
Girl, no. No, girl.
He's like, this is my sobriety. And he has kind of a little accent, too.
Yeah.
But he's like, this is my sobriety necklace. And, you know, it's the most difficult thing I've ever done. And it's the most important thing in my life. So I'd love it if you held on to it. Roberto's looking at him like, you are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I want this? There ain't no diamonds on this. It's like a dog tag.
And also, you know, he's like, so no apple martinis, then you're out.
Yeah, he's like, what, we're supposed to get through an entire marriage with no drinks? Fuck you.
Out.
What century do you think I'm from?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, Brandon after said, well, God, I'm glad I had that in my pocket because, you know, what did he say? Yeah, he said, thank God I had a sentiment in my pocket because, you know, he needed something sentimental. So thank God I had that there. Like, oh, gross. You didn't even... It's gross enough if you plan to do it. But if you use that at the last second to stay in, you're gross.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah. I think he planned it, which is even... I think just as gross.
Yeah, he's
gross. Why would you think that would be a turn on?
I'm not your sponsor.
Sobriety. I know.
Yeah, like, gross. I don't care. Congratulations, because that's not an easy thing to come through, God knows, but still, like, you don't get a fucking sucker every time you show up somewhere because you didn't have a drink, okay?
No, and it doesn't, people save that for your AA meeting. That's not a turn on.
Yeah,
that's not a turn on that you had a drinking problem and now and you're in recovery. That nobody's gonna be like, oh, that is hot.
Yeah, a lot of people, that's why I love Robbie, because he is one of the only ones who did not initially come from a victim place. It really bugs me that people nowadays, like an old man, but that people use their victimhood as something that's attractive. It makes me nuts.
Yeah.
One could argue they're trying to be vulnerable, but still it's gross. I do not like when they sit down there immediately like, well, I was homeless. I was a drug addict. My family wouldn't speak to me. What is that, your resume? Are these reasons I'm supposed to want to fuck you? Get out of here with that. Like, at least save that until we're engaged and I have to deal with your family.
Right. They're not following the rules at all.
Weird. I don't like it.
By the way, didn't he say it at the beginning? Didn't one of the guys, or did we talk about this on the casting thing? Wasn't he like, I used to be homeless? Was that? Oh, that was him?
Yes, he sat down at the pool party and he's like, I was homeless and a drug addict and an alcoholic and my family, because my family totally disowned me. And like,
okay.
When I was 15, which that stuff is all sad, but this is your first date and you're like shirtless with your hot body. Like, just stop.
It's
gross. Stop using that stuff to get someone to feel sorry for you and date you. I don't like it.
Agreed.
Okay. That's my favorite thing to hear. So he gives a sobriety necklace, gross. And then what else happened? Dylan is a sweaty damn mess. And he's giving pouts and, you know, dirty looks through everybody else's thing. And he's like, this is why I like Robert. I love his refreshing honesty with the guys. He's like, Dylan, you turned my fun into not fun. I left because of how you were acting. I'm not kidding. Okay, you don't need to get loud to get your point across.
He's like, I don't like the way you act. I don't like that. Well, why are you keeping him then?
Because he's crazy. So Daniel, who's Daniel? No,
so Danique.
Oh, Danique.
So Danique is the only one left. And this is the saddest thing. He's just like, he's standing there about to get cut. And he's like, maybe, I'm just thinking, maybe, is there any kind of possibility that since Sam left, they just like won't do a cut?
Yeah, that was sad. And then to top it off, Robert says like the stuff that he's been talking about the whole episode, which hurts his feelings more than anything in the world. When people say, listen, I love funny people. You are funny. You are wonderful. I just don't ever want to touch you. And he's like, okay, bye. It's like, I'm friend zoning you. Oh, goodbye, friend.
I said, once again, friend zoned.
I will let you buy me a drink some other time. And then when Danique is sobbing at the end, I felt so bad because he's so nice.
I know.
And he was sobbing and his eyes were like bloodshot from sobbing. And then, you know, we kept stopping and they're like, no, cry more. Tell us about what it feels like to be a friend forever. And he's like, poor Danique.
Oh, left me with a sad feeling.
It did.
But hopeful that there's going to be some good stuff in the next episode.
Yeah. And Danique's like, well, the one thing that makes me feel better is that I do believe that good things happen to good people. I'm like, oh, no. There's another reality you're going to have to let go of. You can sob about that one another day. See you on the spinoff.
I want to find out how many episodes is going to be Prince Charming.
I don't know. This show is so funny. Like, all the people who are involved seem embarrassed to be involved because the credits went by so fast, I thought I was going to have a seizure. It was like, brrr, over. They showed, like, 100 people's names in, like, less than a second.
I know. It's the cheapest. It's so cheap. It's really funny, though.
Yeah, this is such a fun show. And it was such a fun episode, Stephanie.
Yeah, if you want to, if you're not actually watching the show for some reason, but you are just enjoying the podcast, which I sometimes do with Ronnie and Ben for certain Real Housewives franchises that I don't watch, go to logotv.com and watch some video clips. You can see Danique. They have a bunch of video clips, so you'll know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
There's a thing I'm looking at on here, the canary bit. There's the sensing of connection. There's Eric talking to Robert. There's Paul's take on the altercation. Oh, you can see who Paul is. You can see all these guys.
Yeah, you can get an idea who they are. And they still have the whole cast listed there too with their pictures, so you can see all that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everybody so much for being here. And thank you so much for your iTunes reviews and all that good stuff. That helps us so much. If you do want our bonus episodes, just go to rosepricks.com and sign up for premium. Thank you to everybody who does that. If you want to find Stephanie on Twitter, you can find her at swildertaylor, and I'm at Ronnie Karam. And you can find all our shows and stuff like that. Just come find us on Instagram and Twitter. This show is at rosepricks_pod. Find us on Facebook. Our information is also all there. And you can find all of this information at rosepricks.com. All the episodes are there. And we love you guys.
Love you guys.
We'll see you next time. Bye.